Greetings and welcome back to another and ongoing series of Shirman Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Shalom. We are now studying Masechet Bav Metzia Daf Yod Dalet Amud Bet. In the middle of our discussion about Shitrei Chov with and without Achrayut, and the last piece that we talked about was a field that is sold and then seized, what the liability of the seller is, Itmar. Amocher Sadel Chavarom Nitzet Sheinah Shalo. If a fellow sells a field to another guy and it turns out that it was not rightfully the seller's, what does the buyer then have recourse to? Rav Amar Yesh Lo Ma'ot V'Yesh Lo Shevach. Rav says that the buyer can come back to the seller and sue him for the money that he paid, plus the improvements that he might have put into the field. Shmuel Amar Ma'ot Yesh Lo Shevach Ein Lo. Shmuel said he only can get back the purchase price, but the improvements that he put into it, he planted, he put a fence, he did something to the field, he has no claim to. Now, Boim and Emir Rav Huna. They asked Rav Huna the following question about Shmuel Shita. Pireish lo et ha-shavach mahu. What if when the seller sold the field, he said to him, if there is any shavach, then I will, and the field is seized, I will repay you for it, you'll have recovery. Does he have recovery? So that depends on how we understand Shmuel's reason for saying that in a default case, there is no shavach. Is it because when he originally sold it, he didn't explicitly say you get the shavach? But in this case he did, so he would get it. Perhaps Shmuel's reason is because the seller really doesn't own the land. He's a thief. What it really turns out to be is that the seller borrowed money from the borrower, from the buyer. He didn't sell him land, doesn't have land. So reality is he borrowed money from him. And now if he pays him back more than he borrowed, it looks like ribit. What's Shmuel's reasoning? Amar lei. Rav Huna said, in valav, meaning sometimes he said yes, sometimes he said no, v'rafi biyadeh, he was not clear on it, and so therefore he did not give a consistent answer. Now let's see if we can solve it. What would Shmuel say in such a case? Itmar, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel. So now we have Rav Nachman, Talmid Muvak of Shmuel, teaching us the following. Ma'ot yeshto shavach ein lo afapish perishto ta shavach. The Shmuel explicitly said that you cannot recover the shavach even if it was explicitly put into the contract. My tama came into karka ein lo schar ma'otav and made an hotel. Since the seller really doesn't own any land, therefore all you can get back is your money. You can't get back shavach because the shavach belongs to the karka and the karka never belonged to him. Okay, so now, Eitavei Rava Rav Nachman. So Rava, Rav Nachman's Talmid, turns to him and challenges what he just said as the following. He brings the ruling that says, Ein motzin l'achilat perot, ula shevach karkot, ula mozon ha'ishava banot. For these three kinds of payment, which is if somebody deserves achilat perot of land, in other words, while the land is being held by someone else, they deserve the rights to the perot, or they deserve the rights to the increase of the vet land, or it's a case of a woman or daughters, typically in the case of a widow, etc., where they're being fed from the property. We do not take that minachasim mishubadim. None of those payments can be taken from nachasim that had subsequently been sold or given to another owner. Netikun ha'olam. What tikun ha'olam is not our concern. That's a sugyan ktubot. But mimisham dihudala mafkinan. But the, our diuk is, what Rava's diuk is, that we don't pay for mishubadim, hami b'nei chorin mafkinan. So the clear implication is that you do make such payments from b'nei chorin, from land that is freely in the property of the one who owes that money. Uktani mi ala shavach karkot. And one of the things that we said is that you pay shavach. Now, my lava lokeach migazlan, aren't we talking about a case? Isn't that ruling talking about a case where somebody bought land from a gazlan, and now the land got seized by the nigzal, and now he comes back to the gazlan and what it is that he is claiming? So we answer, lo, b'bal chov. We're not talking about a gazlan, we're talking about a bal chov who comes to seize land from somebody who bought it from the legitimate owner, but who owed money. So even bal chov, emeresho, take a look at the beginning of the statement, en motzin l'achilat perot. The first thing on our list is perot. V'iva bal chov mit l'pere. We all know that a bal chov cannot collect payrot of karka for his payment. All he can collect is the karen. How do we know that? V'yamar Shmuel b'alchov egov et ha-shevach. But Shmuel said, and we're going to return to this on the next Amud, that the b'alchov, a b'alchov, can collect the shevach, meaning a guy lent money, $100,000 to a fellow, and the guy had land worth $100,000. Or better yet, the guy had land worth $90,000. The land, he subsequently sold the land. The Baal Chov comes back 30 days later to collect his debt, or 6 months later. The fellow has no money, and the land is gone. So he goes to the Lokeach. In the meantime, the Lokeach has put some work into the land, and the land is now worth 100. He can collect the entire land, including the Shevach. In other words, it's available for his collection so that he can get that paid back. And now the Lokeach has to come back to the seller, who is the Lova, and try to collect his money. Now, Shevach inav al perot lo. But from Shmuel's statement that a Baal Chov collects Shevach, the implication is he collects Shevach, but not perot. So therefore, the ruling that Rava brought to Rav Nachman as a challenge has to be about someone who bought land from a Goslin, and you see that he gets Shevach. El apshita begoz of a nigzal. Obviously, achilat perot must be talking about a case of a nigzal, where you do get perot. Umidereisha begoz of a nigzal, sefanam begoz of a nigzal. So therefore, all items on the list, achilat perot, something the ration of sefa. It's the achilat perot, and shevach karkot, and mazon ha'ishav abanot, must all be in a case a goz of a nigzal. And truth is, mazon ha'ishav abanot is also not. That's just from the estate. So it must be that shevach karkot also goes of a nigzal. Midi Iria, who said? Hakirita v'hakirita. Maybe it's just telling you a rule. Whenever you collect perot, it can't from Meshubadim. And whenever you get Shavach, it's not from Meshubadim. By the way, when will you get perot? That's from Nigzal. When will you get a Shavach Harkot? That's from a Baal Chov. Each one separately. Havalo halo tani hachi. But Rava turns back to Rav Nachman and says, but we have a clear bright different than that. The Shavach Harkot Ketzad. How do you collect Shavach Harkot? And what's the case? There we go. A stole land from B. And now the Beit Din is taking the land away from A. Now, right now, all there is in the bright is A and B, a Gazlan and Nigzal. We'll see why we have to add a third party in here. So it says that A stole land from B, and now they're taking the land away from A and giving it back to B. It says that he, who's the he, can collect the karen, the original value of the land, from Nechasim Meshubadim, and the uptick, the appreciation, only from Bnei Chorin. Now, Hechidami, what's the case? Ilema Kediktani, if you read it straight ahead, the way that it's written, with only two parties there, Gazlan Miman Govi, what, you're saying that the Gazlan can now collect? Why should the Gazlan collect anything? It must be talking about a case where there's a third party, where A stole land from B, A then improved the land and sold it to, A sold the land to C, and C improved the land. And now that the land is being seized from C to give it back to B, the original owner, C has appreciation, and he's going to come back and want to get it. And you see that the Gazlan Shemachar, there is Shevach that goes back to the one who was Mashpiach. So Amar Lachalav Terutzik Imatartzat. So Rav Nachman turned to Rav and said, didn't we turn the other Braita and answer that it was talking about a Baal Chov? Tartzam Baal Chov. So answer that this one's also talking about a Baal Chov. And so therefore, go back to the Braita to take a look for a moment, a couple lines above, where it says that Shevach Karkot Ketzad. You could say that Harisha Gazal Sademi Chaviro, but now what's happening? A Baal Chov is coming to seize the land, and the Baal Chov gets to seize the Shevach. After all, we know that the Baal Chov can seize Shevach. Shmuel himself said so. Let's try it again. Toshma. Vachilat Perot Ketzad. This is a match Breitot with the previous one. How do you take care of Vachilat Perot? By the way, these are all Breitot that riff off the original one that we had, which is that Ein Motzin for Achilat Perot and Shevach HaKot and Mazon Ishva Bonot. So now, Lachila Perot Ketzad, Harisha Gazal Sademi Chavero. Guy stole from another fellow. Harisha Yotzami Tachat Yado. Now we're seizing the land from him. Kshugove Govet Akerim Chasim Shubadim, Perot Govem Chasim Bnei Chorin. Again, the same thing. He collects the Karen from even Meshubadim, but the Perot he can only collect from Bnei Chorin. Hey Chidami, what's the case? Ilam Mikeriktani, again, if you read it straight ahead, Gazlan Man Govi, why should the Gazlan collect? Again, A stole land from B, sold it to C, and C improved the land. So Amarava, so Rava answers this bright to himself to defend. He was attacking, challenging Rav Nachman. Now he's going to defend it himself. The case here is where the guy stole land that was already had perot on it. Everything was ripe. V'achalta perot. And he spent all the perot. He ate them, he sold them, whatever he did. V'chafar barborot shichinu me'arot. And then he dug up the land, so the land is no longer available. So now who is it that's doing the collecting? It's the Nigzal that's doing the collecting. So that's the missing piece. The whole time through here, we never thought the Nigzal has to collect because it says the Nigzal gets his land back and now there's somebody else is missing money. No, it's the Nigzal who has to get it back. If the Nigzal wants to collect his land, can't collect land, he goes back to the Goslin and he says, I can only get it from the Chosim Mishubadim, or he collects it from the Sif, from the guy who bought it. If he wants to collect his payrot, then, because it was stolen with payrot on it, then he can only collect from Bnei Chorin of the fellow who ate it. That's Rava's take. Rabba Bar Avuna Amar, he has a different take. Kigon Shinatalu Amasikin. The Goslin stole, and this we have at the end of Bava Kama, and strong-armed thugs came and stole the land because of the Goslin. It wasn't a Makat Medina, where everybody's land was getting taken, but just this land because the Goslin, they knew who he was, or he's a Moser, or something like that. And they took it, which means the Goslin has a liability to return it. Bani Gzalik Vot Karen, again, what Rava Bar Avuna and Rava have in common is they say the cases where the land is unavailable, as is, can't be used for payment. In Rava's take, the land has been destroyed. In Rava Avuna's take, the land is unavailable, it's gone. Bani Gzalik Vot Karen, when the Nigzal wants to collect Karen, Govem Nchosi Mishubadim, he takes it from Mishubadim. Bani Gzalik Vot Perot, if he wants to collect Perot, Govem Nchosim Bnei Chorin. Danny collects Bnei Chorin. Now, Rava lo amar k'Rava Rav Huna, why didn't Rava take this approach to Rava Rav Huna, say that it was land that got seized by strong-armed thugs and is unavailable? Because he says, Harehi yotza mitachet yado, and the bright that said, and the land is being taken out, bedina mashma. It sounds like the Beit Din has control over it, and they're controlling where the land is going. So it can't be where Masikin took it, where it's out of our control. Rava Rav Huna lo amar k'Rava, he was medayik in the same words. Why didn't he say, like Rava, that the land got destroyed? Harehi yotza mitachet yado, Ba'ena mashma, indicating that the land is still as is, meaning the land exists in proper condition and hasn't been destroyed. Rav Ashi has a third take on this braita. It's studying Tani, that the braita should be understood as when he collects and he collects, it's not talking about the same guy. Like Rava's instance that he gave, where he stole the field that had lots of perot on it, and he spent all the perot. Then he sold the field as is. So now the field gets returned to the Nigzal. The Lokeach comes back to the Goslin to get his money. He collects from Mishubadim. The Nigzal wants his perot, because that was on the land and that got eaten up. When he wants to collect perot, so Rav Ashi simply says that the Braita, when it says he collects and he collects, is not talking about the same person. That resolves our problems. But back to Rav and Rabba Bar Avuna, Bein Rav Avuna, Milval Pehu. What is it that the Nigzal is collecting? He's collecting the Goslin's obligation to pay him back what he owes, which is Hashavat HaGzela, which is called a Milval Peh. It's an obligation of the Torah, but it's not a written debt. Milval Peh, no governor chosim Mishubadim. We have a general rule that you cannot collect an oral debt from Mishubadim, only from Bnei Chorin, because how would the Lokeach know about it? So, Achamayaskinan, Kshamad Bedin Vahadar Zavin. What happened is, in either case, Rav Huna's case is the guy got caught red-handed having stolen the property and eaten the perot. And he was taken to Din, and after that he sold the property. So, Yahachi Perot Nami, if that's the case, then the perot also should go from Mishubadim. The answer is, Kishamar Vadin ala Karen, Vlamar Vadin ala Perot. He was taken to Din about the essential theft, but not about the perot. Later on, they discover the perot, and by the time that happened, he had already sold it. My psaka, how do you come up with that decision? The answer is tama de milta. It's the normal way things go. Kitava inish karna tava bereisha. When a person has a claim, the first thing they claim is the land, as they claim is the base piece. Then they start looking at the residuals that might also be there. Okay, so now, v'savar Shmuel lokeach migazan leit leishevcha, but the entire sugya has been informed by the notion that if somebody steals from if a gazlan sells it, and then the land is sealed, is seized, back, that the Lokeach does not have rights to the Shevach he put into the land to collect from the Goslin. He told the Sofer, ask the seller of the property, when a fellow sells property, ask him if he wants to write in the Shtar, that I will take liability for anything that's going to be seized from you. implying that if somebody comes and seizes the land from you, I will make good even on the Shevach. So, Bamai, what's the course? Iba Bal Chov, Midle Pere. Wait a second. Perot? I'm going to pay you for the perot? And I can't be talking about if a Bal Chov seizes it because he doesn't have perot. He can't seize it from you. It must be that Shmuel was telling the sofer, ask the seller if he wants to have it written in that if this thing turns out to be that I was a Goslin and you bought it from me and now the Nigzal collects it, I will pay you for the perot and the shevach. So you see that somebody who buys from a Goslin can recover the shevach. So Rav Yosef gives an answer. There's two versions of it. We're talking about a case where the Goslin has karka. And here's the deal. What was the whole reason that Shmuel said? And we should go back to the beginning of this podcast. Why did Shmuel say that the Lukach and the Goslin should not get Shavach? That's because it looks like Ribit. Because after all, he got money. He's giving the money back. And he's giving now more back. Right, so the answer is, here we're talking about a case where the Goslin has karka, and we collect him from karka, it won't look like Ribit. Amarle Abaye, so Abaye turned to Rav Yosef and says, V'chimutar levot seya b'seya b'malkam shish lo karka? Since when are you allowed to borrow metaltalin against metaltalin if you have karka? After all, the metaltalin might go up in value, and then they have a whole problem with Ribit. We'll get to that in the fifth parak. So it should be done with karka. So Amarle, hatam halva hachazvini. He said, yeah, when you're borrowing money, you have to make it connect to karka. But here it was originally done as a sale, so it's okay. There's a variation on this answer of Rav Yosef. Ikadam Rav Yosef, achamayaskinan, gon shekano miado. We're talking about a case where the seller made it a hakna, an absolute shibur on the property. Amarle abai v'chimutal avot seva seva malkam shekano miado. Parallel question. Hatam alva, chazvini. Again, that's true in a case of alva, but in the case of a sale, you're allowed to. Okay, back to Shmuel. Guf amar Shmuel bal chov go et ha-shevach. So amar Rav, teda shekach kotev lo mocher la lokeach. That's exactly what the mocher writes to the lokeach. Meaning, when you sell property, this is exactly what you write. And this is the nusach of the shtar. Ana ekum v'ashafe v'adake v'amarek zvine ilain. I will get up and I will clean out and rectify all this entire sale so it's perfectly clean. Inun v'amalehon v'shivchehon. Any work you've done on it and any shevach. Ve'ekum karamach, and I will present it to you. Ve'tzave zvina denan v'kabel alohi. And the mocher agreed to it and accepted this. That's the nusach of the shtar. And so if that's the case, then that means when I sell you land, that means that if somebody, Baal Chov comes and seizes it, I'm going to make good on the shevach, because he'll be able to collect the shevach. So, achia barav in the rabba. So, in other words, your inference is from the nusach of the shtar, it says, I'll clean up the shevach, mashma, you could lose the shevach. In a shtar matana, you don't write that. Now you have something strange, because in the case of a shtar matana, you don't write such a nusach. Therefore, does that mean that in the case of a matana, the Baal Chov can only collect the karka, not the shevach? So Amar Le'in, he said, yeah. You mean a matana is stronger than a mecher? So Amar Le'in, yafeh v'yafeh. In this case, yeah, matana is stronger. Rav Nachman, hamat nita Messiah le'lamar Shmuel. We have a braita that supports Shmuel's position. V'huna chavrin, remember, Rav Huna is opposed to Shmuel on this and says that you do collect Shavach. Mokim al b'mili achrini. He says that it's about something else. So let's see the braita and see how he interprets it. Tanya mocher sod de la chavero. If you sell a field, hare yotza mitachet yado. And then the Beit Din is taken away from him. We assume now that the purchaser is now going to collect the Karen from the guy who sold it to him, who we assume was a Goslin, and he collects from a Shubadim. And then the Shevach he collects from Bnei Chorin. Now, that will have to be a case of a Baal Chov, according to Shmuel. He says, talking about Lokach mi Goslin, because as you know, Rav Huna says, if you buy from a Goslin, you do get the Shevach back, as Rav ruled, and Rav Huna, of course, is a Talmud Muvak of Rav. Tanya Ida, Hamocher, Sadal Chaver, Vishbicha, if a guy sells property, and the buyer then improves it, Uva, Baal Chov, Tarfa, and a Baal Chov comes and seizes the property, Shugova, remember the Baal Chov can seize the Shevach, Shugova, Ima Shevach, Yoter Al Eitzia, when the buyer comes back to collect from the seller, if the improvement was more than his expense, then Otel Tashevach and Balakarka, he collects the differential from the guy who sold it to him, Vayitziyami Balchov, and then he comes back to the Balchov and he says to him, and my expenses were this amount, you have to pay me back. But if he put more expense in, he had started planting and then it got seized. In other words, the expense was greater than the profit and the appreciation. Then he can come back to the Balchov and say, this is the amount that I put into it and collect it back. What's Shmuel going to do with this breita? So if we're talking about a case where you bought it from a gazlan, so kasha resha. Why? Damar Shmuel, lokeach migazlan, leit lushivcha. Shmuel said that when you buy from a gazlan and then it's seized, you don't have a recovery of the shavach. And here we said that you do have recovery of the shavach. Iba balchov, but if it's talking about a balchov, kasha resha was safer. Shmuel has a difficulty in both cases. Shmuel balchov govat shavach. Is it balchov collects the shavach, and here the owner is collecting something back, the yitzir, the shavach, back from the balchov. So he bought him lokeach migazlan. So it could be we're talking about lokeach migazlan from gon sheish lo karka, as we just answered earlier, a case where the gazlan himself has karka, and therefore we can have him pay the shavach back. Or with a shtar hakana, again he can pay it back. Or you could say that it's talking about a balchov. Remember, balchov does not collect perot, he collects shavach. So therefore, if the perot reach up to the shoulders, it means they're ready to go, they're already perot, then it's not called shavach anymore, and that he doesn't collect. But if it's still on the ground, then it's still shavach. Okay, but wait a second, Shmuel regularly awards to the Balchov Shavach that is even up, is even ripe, which means like Peirot. So it depends. If the debt that's owed to him is the value of the land plus the Shavach, then he gives it to him. But if he's only suing him for the land, that amount, he doesn't get the Peirot. So you have the Shivcha Masalik, he says, here, take this and go. Now this only works according to the Manda Amar that says that if the Lokeach has money, he still cannot tell the Balchov, take the money and go and leave the land alone. Shapir. But according to the Manda Amar that says if the Lokeach has money, he can tell the Balchov, take this money and go and leave the land alone, and then he can come back to the Mocher and say, I put out money for you. Think about this. If I had money, I could have gotten you away from the whole land. Hashar lately, Zuzi, now that I don't have money, havli garva da ara ba'ara shiur shivchai, at least leave me land, the amount that I improved on it. So, achamayaskim, we're going to show apotiki. So, we must be talking about a case where the land was an apotiki, meaning da amar le lo yelacha piron elamizu. An apotiki is where you assign collection from a specific piece of land, and that may the entire land is ripe for collection. Sorry for the pun. And therefore, in that case, it will be collected, and even according to the Manda Amar that says that a lokeach can be mesalik of alchov with money, in this case he can't because it was made in apotiki. Okay, we'll pick up in the next podcast on Daf Tet Vav Amud Bet, and in the meantime, everyone should have a wonderful day.